Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy, sis. This week's community partners are Brave Counseling and Consulting. Be sure to like and subscribe to them on all social media platforms. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you can be notified of new episodes of Jesus Plus Therapy, sis. We're in season 4. Woo! Let's go.
Hey, y'all, listen. For the last 30 minutes, we have been talking, and usually I do a whole come on in introduction, and it's supposed to be part two. And honestly, y'all, I really don't know what we talked about in part one for it to be a part two. But in our conversation, we have Andrew Wilson back, the great Andrew Wilson back, yes, with his awesome wisdom. And he here with us with our great craziness. And the question we just asked is, who coaches the trailblazer? And we were just talking about our trailblazing. All three of us are blazing our own different trails, and not just the trailblazer who's doing something outside of the family. We're doing something that the world has never seen before.
Absolutely.
And that takes crazy faith. And why am I about to become emotional? It takes crazy faith to be a trailblazer. And so all of us are entrepreneurs. All of us are in spaces where we don't see many of us. All of us are in hard positions where we want to do what God has called us to do, to be obedient to what God has called us to be obedient to, while having to deal with rejection, mm-hmm, while having to deal with isolation, while having to deal with finding ourselves in the midst of chaotic situations of people telling us that don't make sense to them, and us having to sit here and try to make it make sense to them when it makes sense to us. But they'll never get to understand the trail that we're blazing because nobody has done it, and we don't have any space or any area to compare it to. So with that being said, tonight's topic is who is coaching the trailblazer? And so, yeah, we want to know, like, who's coaching the trailblazer?
Nobody right now, because we are here looking toe up from the flow up. I have, over the last 90 days, I have experienced so much disarray. So much disarray. And I know a lot of times on the podcast you say sometimes we experience multiple levels of grief, and you literally have to maneuver through multiple levels of grief. And for me, my entrepreneurial journey was spun out of grief. It started because I was in a devastating situation. Like, and I didn't know that this was going to be the way that I
agree
in my journey. Like, I didn't know. I didn't see this coming. It's kind of like the pandemic. Nobody saw it coming. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you I did not see this for this year in my life, nope, I didn't see that. And it has been one where I'm literally trying to process grief, unpack grief, and still keep going. And so,
why being met with new grief moments?
Yes. So, like, this, and when Drew, he literally brought that to my attention, like, girl, like, what they do that at? And here I am, literally trying to balance the personal with the business, holding it all together, and I'm about to, like, just tell y'all can have it, and bye. But I know that this is it's different when you have a God say it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize, when you got a God say it, you just can't just turn around and be like, all right, I'll holler at you, God. See you later. You know, you have to continue to stay the course. And I'm trying to stay the course and not go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, when you said that, trying to stay the course and not go crazy, the person I thought about was Elijah. Hmm. And I always use him when it comes to explaining to believers what crazy looks like. And he is truly the definition of such. Here he is. He has been the one who told the rain to stay still. Don't make it rain. No, it can't. It ain't gonna rain. In this 3 years, it ain't gonna rain. I don't know what y'all gonna do, but ain't no rain gonna be here, right? And it took this one woman to throw his whole life out of whack. Like, yeah. So much so, he didn't want to prophesy, he wanted to cave, he doing unnatural things.
Yeah.
He's totally depressed. God trying to feed him. He rejecting the manner from God. Like, I don't want your birds. I'm going to stay here and die in this cave. And I feel like that's how we as trailblazers are. There are times where this one situation in the midst of our trailblazing journey can get us to a place that we become so grieved and so depressed that we be like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Obedience is too much.
Mm-hmm. I've said this over the last 90 days. Like, I'd rather just be obedient. I just rather just be disobedient, God. Like, being obedient, like, people don't realize being obedient comes with a cost.
Yes.
Let's just say la, because you gotta let that sit. It comes with a cost. Yes, they paint it so pretty in the church that obedience is the best thing you can do, but obedience comes at a cost.
So, 1 Samuel, what is it, 15? And the obedience is a better sacrifice, but it still comes with, they don't tell you that it comes with a sacrifice. So it's like, so you telling me it's better than a sacrifice, but what's the sacrifice I'm making by being obedient?
That's the thing. Because see, when I set out to be obedient, God, I didn't know that I was going to lose family. I didn't know that I was going to sacrifice my friends. I didn't know that I was going to sacrifice my home, my well-being, my nourishment. I didn't know I was going to have to sacrifice all of this, because these are the things that got me to the point to be willing to be obedient.
That part.
You know, when I think of just the overall story of Deborah, right? And when I think about, you know, Deborah and how, one, she was a woman, uh-huh. two, she was a prophet, uh-huh. you know, and three, she was a judge, uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. She was a judge in Israel. And, you know, as a judge, you know, Deborah was very transformational. You know, she was very, you know, kind of trailblazer-esque, because she had no one to truly depend on. But the person that she truly, the gift that she truly relied on was her ability to prophesy and her ability to tap into her prophetic gift, right? And be that prophetess and, you know, to judge and transform Israel from defeat to actual success, right? So imagine, I use Deborah because she, you know, I believe that, you know, especially the time in which, you know, Deborah was, you know, was judged, you know, the outlook of women, right? And how women, you know, one, were perceived during that time, and how, look, sis still overcame, you know, still, she still was able to, you know, make sure that, you know, there was, that there was, you know, victory over the Canaanites. So when I look at her story, and how she always referred back to what God said and what God shared with her, you know, and when we go back to like, okay, who's mentoring the trailblazer, and you know, and I guess the unbearable truth is no one. And will someone come and save us? Mm. And it's no one will come and save us. Mm. The only person. No human will come and save us. Let me say that. And the only person that is, that has the strength to handle our capacity and our abilities and our gifting, that is Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if Holy Spirit isn't guiding every single part of our walk, then we become normal, right? So we might as well not be the trailblazer anymore.
That's so good.
And I think that because being normal is so easy, y'all. Mm. Like being a part of the crowd, you know, it's so easy. But trying to walk this upright, this standard, and trying to just be as you become is so hard. It's so, so hard. And no one that's, it's not humanly possible for anyone to contain us, you know, because of, you know, what we are and what we represent. Mm. So it's, and I use that story because you all are two trailblazers. And I look at Deborah and I see her next to y'all. And I just see the fact that God guided Deborah through her entire journey to leading. You know, as judge, and I guess I'm, and I'm preaching to myself too, you know, during all of this, is if we ain't consulting, excuse my English, you know, if we ain't consulting Holy Spirit about every single walk, every single unction, every single feeling, you know, it kind of, you know, really negates our calling and what we're truly, you know, destined, you know, to become. And I gotta tell you, you know, man, just transparently speaking, it is hard. It's probably some of the hardest work that I've ever had to do, because like I be wanting to give up. I be wanting to say, you know, you know what, God, I know you got me mentoring this person, but, you know, and I know I'm, you know, kind of, you know, in territory that I don't know anything about, but I know you told me to go. And Lord, I don't want to, you know, kind of, you know, forfeit the mission, but man, this thing is really, really hard for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was thinking about, man, just thinking about how many times Jesus wanted to put that cross down and go back down that hill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's like how did, yeah, he dropped it a couple of times going right. up. You yeah. know what I mean?
Which is why he needed, he had to get help, right?
Absolutely. Ooh, which is, You know what? That's good right there. That's a good segue to talk about the help that's really needed while we're on this trailblazing journey.
Yeah.
You know, is the right help. Do we have the right help? You know, and what does that help look like?
I'm gonna go back to something you said. So let's talk of going back to the Deborah story. Deborah was sent to send a message, but got denied, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, okay, God said, you don't want the assignment. I'll take the assignment. And when I get the glory, don't be mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wasn't sought out to be a trailblazer. That wasn't her intent. Her intent was to be a messenger.
And sometimes
as trailblazers, we weren't sought out to be the trailblazers. We were just there to become the messengers. But because the person we were sent to give the message to denied the trailblazing opportunity, we picked up the mantle and became the trailblazers. And so a lot of times when it comes to the help part, I always think about Habakkuk 2:2-3. Because I feel like that's a trailblazer's the trailblazer plays, right? Write the vision and make it plain. That's our part. So that others, that's another person's part, may run with it. That's another person's part and make it plain, right? Our goal is to write it. There's somebody who's gonna make it plain, and then there's somebody who's gonna run with it. And I think a lot of times as trailblazers, we're looking for the confirmation, which we think is the plainness of it, but that's not what it is. When somebody's making something plain, that means they're translating it to one language to another language, from the original language. So from the trailblazer language to the language for the others to run with it. And I think we want the confirmation. I don't need you to confirm my trailblazing, because you'll never confirm it, because you don't know what it is. Heck, I don't know what it is. I'm still trying to define what it is. I'm still asking God. I'm still asking Holy Spirit. Hey, sir, can you give me a word? Can you give me the vocabulary that I can translate? But here's the thing. When you're writing a vision, your job is not to be the translator too. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times the reason why we struggle in the area of help when it comes to being a trailblazer, or we struggle in understanding who is the right help, because we have people volunteering, right? Because we know how to market a trailblazing dream. We know how to market our dream. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason why we can't is because the help we're looking for is the help of confirmation and not the help of translation.
Ooh. Wow.
And so, yeah, I just
lean in right there.
That's deep. That yeah. You got to give us some more, because my mouth is open. I'm over here like stuck. Okay.
So a lot of times when we're giving people the information to whatever we got, right, we're looking for them to say, oh, that's good. Amen. That's going to be the bomb. That's going to help the kingdom out. That's going to do X, Y, and Z, right? That's not their job. A real helper is to translate. So their job is to say, okay, so what I hear you saying is that right? Okay, I'm going to write that down. That's it. But we want them to write it down and say, ooh, that's good. Let me take notes. No, their job is to only take notes. Ask you what they're taking notes about is right, and keep it moving.
Yeah.
The confirming part comes from the trauma or needing to be confirmed.
The confirming part comes, I feel like, as a trailblazer, the confirming part comes not from trauma. It comes from a place of normalcy. If you confirm it, I feel like this is normal.
I'm normal.
Ooh, that's rich.
So people can accept it if you can confirm it. But if you can't accept it and you run it with my vision, how am I going to get everybody else to accept it? I can't normalize it. And I think as trailblazers, we want to feel normal. We ain't. That's why we trailblazers, right?
Yeah.
Was it normal for
you know?
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I want you to finish that thought. Go ahead.
So was it normal for Abram to leave his whole family and go somewhere without any direction?
I've been hearing that it wasn't.
It's not normal. We want normalcy. Obedience is not. Obedience ain't normal.
Girl, I'm gone. I ain't got time for y'all tonight.
Obedience is not normal. If it was, then the world would be saved, right?
Shut up, then keep talking.
It would be hard to be a believer, right? If obedience was normal. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's be real. Yeah. If it was normal. Yeah. This journey called Christianity would be so easy because obedience is so normal. So what I love about Mormons, and if I offend any Mormons that are listening, please forgive me in advance. But what I love about Mormons, even in the midst of all the craziness they've been showing, is they are absolutely submissive to the obedience to what they read. They ain't no question. That's why we hear about their cults within the Mormon community. Because there's a level of obedience built in them from the ground up. They make obedience. They don't make obedience an option. It's a priority.
Yeah.
And I think as believers, we continue to make obedience an option.
Because of grace.
And we abuse it daily. Yeah. But what were you going to say, Drew?
Man, you know what? You have me so stuck on this obedience part that what I wanted to say it doesn't even matter. It doesn't trump this obedience because, man, it's the daily struggle of every Christian or of anyone, really, for that matter, is obedience, knowing to do the right thing when, you know, especially when you know what the right thing is in doing it. Right. And it only hurts so much when you go against the grain, when you know what the right thing is, but at the same time, you know what the right thing, how the right thing is going to make you feel.
That's good.
Yeah, and sometimes we're so weird. When I say weird, I'm gonna just start saying I, because I know how I'm gonna feel and where that obedience is gonna take me, especially in an emotional state. No one wants to be that. No one wants to go through that because we have already kind of, we've already dealt with that feeling before. So we already know that, hey, this is going to make me feel this way. I'm obedient, but I know being obedient is going to hurt. Being obedient is going to, sometimes it's going to cause me to get my heart broken. And I don't want my heart to be broken because the last time my heart was broken, this happened. I had anxiety attacks, or I was depressed for 2 months, or I got into it. I had relationship issues with my parents or my significant other. So no, I'm not going to go through heartbreak again. And because of that, I'm just going to do whatever I want to what we said earlier, to what makes me feel good. And right now, being obedient doesn't make me feel good. And given that, I'm willing to risk it all because of what feels good at that moment.
I'm ready to risk it all just to be normal.
Listen.
Yeah.
Because I tell people this a lot, even when sharing with women in my ministry and things of that nature, women that I come in contact with, like I had to make a conscious decision to stop running from my call. Like this walk isn't for the faint of heart. Like you can't be no punk and walk this walk. You literally sign up for war.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good thing about being a trailblazer. You literally say, I don't want to sign up for war. Like, I don't want to just be a soldier in the armor of the Lord. I'm trying to be a commander in chief.
That's good.
So when you are a trailblazer, being a commander in chief, guess who? The only person who can actually train you is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because who's higher?
Yeah.
Who higher than the commander in chief? Right.
Yeah.
So somebody high, the only thing higher when it comes to this spiritual realm, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to being a Christian and a trailblazer, the only thing you can depend on is the Holy Spirit. But here's the kicker. When nobody conforms my normality, my fear begins to sit in.
It runs rampant.
My frustration begins to sit in. Because I get tired of explaining in detail who I am. So now I start to question my identity.
I start questioning my sanity.
Yeah. I start questioning the assignment.
That part. So now, because people now are telling me, well, you sure it was God? You sure it was the Holy Spirit? That don't sound like God. I mean, that sound like really out of his character. Everything about God is abnormal. Why are we trying to normalize him?
Wow.
He's simply abnormal. Because how 1,000 days, 1,000 years is one day to you? Huh? Sir, excuse me, 1,000? Not 1,000 days, 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
Is one day to you? Sir, do you know centuries upon centuries that went by in your one day?
Okay. Wow.
That's why people try to put God in a box. And I'm still trying to figure out how there's no way.
Because they put him based upon their experiences and not his capabilities. Mm-hmm. I experience God as I experience God, and I see God in their experience, not his capabilities. He may be capable of doing more, but I've experienced him in this area. Which is why it's hard to be a trailblazer. Because again, you're comparing that spirit of comparison. You're comparing my trail to what is common. Podcast that connects mentors who and they men. How that's gonna work? Something gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you decided to do your own building company and you ain't all the way into the building world and you ain't even got networks like that, but you gonna do it anyway. You got a whole office. Where they do that in?
Yep.
Oh, girl, so you wanna be an advocate for counselors of color? Where they do that in? And you finna get your doctoral degree in something that you don't know nothing about?
How you gonna do that? That
don't add up. The math ain't math.
Says the mathematician. The engineer say it don't. It ain't 1 + 1 ain't equal to 2. It's equal 1A, okay?
Right.
We got A algebra and simple.
Look, isn't it strange how sometimes when people don't believe a thing of God and they try to always go back to, well, science didn't say that. Well, how is that even possible? Because science does this or science does that. Mm-hmm. But even when it comes to science, when things are not of science, right? Or when people say, oh, that scientific method isn't working, or you got the hypothesis wrong, or that doesn't work according to science. People never say, oh, that's God. People always, oh, they just rule it out and say, hey, you know what? That's not going to work. Mm. But the moment we try to, you know, compare God and tell God, yeah, you know, just look at the overarching situation, folks will always say, hey, yeah, that science, you know, that the science doesn't work on that. You know, one plus one is two. How you gonna get five out of that? You know? It's just crazy how our psyche think in terms of, you know, what we were taught. You know, what we were taught in science versus what we know from relationship, which is God. So we always tend to, it's just crazy how, you know, we think when it comes to math and mm-hmm. science and mm-hmm. how, you know, how things actually, you know, work out. You know, I was talking to a friend, when was this? This was yesterday. And, you know, we were just talking about how, you know, we all went to school and we, you know, we kind of, you know, doing this thing, this, you know, engineers and, you know, just this physics thing, and how we're currently, you know, no one is pretty much working in the field that we all went to school for. So then we talk about, hey, you know, well, she's like, well, Drew, why is that the case? You know, why are you working, you know, in a true tech company? Then, you know, and you didn't have a computer science degree or anything like that. And I said, yeah, that, you know, that may be true. However, I'm not the person, you know, who guided me into this. I said, I just kind of had to just live life and just kind of go through the flow. But I didn't allow what my degree dictates, meaning how I'm able to, you know, kind of guide, you know, where I go in life and kind of, you know, what my career was going to be. Because I started off in physics and engineering, that doesn't really mean that, you know, I was going to, you know, end up that way. And he said something, you know, to me that kind of shook me, you know, a little bit. He said, well, Drew, I know you're a man of faith. He said, well, you know, did you realize back then that you were going to be a man of, you know, a man of faith? I said, well, I already knew I was a man of faith then. I just never really showed you guys, or I just never really, I wasn't mature in, you know, in my wisdom, you know, in the faith that just kind of led me to where I am right now. He said, so if you wasn't mature, but you're mature now, how do you get people to follow you? How do you get people to become mature in your faith if you're not mature in your faith? And then what constitutes maturity in faith? And I don't know if we need to just talk about that at another time, or you guys want to take that up on another call.
Listen, that's that is a whole nother conversation, because the maturity of faith comes with faith. Like, it started with the foundation of faith. So before I can mature faith, I got to plant the seed of faith. But before I can plant the seed of faith, I got to till the soil of faith, right?
Yeah.
And so that comes again with that contact of the Holy Spirit. That vulnerability piece comes with that level of maturity. I may not be vulnerable enough to mature to the next level, right? So I may be vulnerable enough to allow the Holy Spirit into my ability to obtain a degree, right? Like, Holy Spirit, guide me in obtaining this degree. And that's just as how far my faith can go. Or Holy Spirit, guide me how to give, right? And giving may be just be the place where I have the most faith in. Mm. The maturity of that is, okay, God, you've already helped me master giving. Help me master vulnerability. Help me master obedience. Help me master my call. Help me master my surrender. And that's where the maturity comes into place. I don't just mature in one area. I'm ready to explore another area while trusting the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
But it comes with the fact that I have to start somewhere and have established credit in that area in order for me to mature somewhere else.
But that even goes back to the trailblazer. We're maturing as we go. We oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
Good to me. Most of us we're not mature, but we're maturing as we go. Like the Bible says that they were healed as they went.
Mm.
Like we're maturing as we go, as we learn, as we hit roadblocks, as we hit stumbling blocks, as we hit our head against the wall, we're maturing because we have to go back to God and say, hey, God, this getting on my nerves. Show me what you need me to show. Show me what I need to get out of this so that I can go on to the next. Because I'm tired of hitting my head on this wall right here. I'm tired of hitting my wall as it relates to my tithes, or I'm tired of hitting my wall as it relates to loving your people. So show me what I gotta get or what I need to learn so that I can get away from this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this can go so many ways, but I'm finding that as the trailblazer, me really taking the time to mature in my relationship with God, mature in obedience, you know, has gotten me to a place where I realized that obedience comes with a cost. Mm-hmm. And it's a heavy price that I have to pay to be obedient to God. And I think that's where we came to this conclusion, like, who coaches the trailblazer? The only coach that we have is God, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, we can't lean to our own understanding because our own understanding leads us to normalcy. And isn't that what we're running from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was about to say, you know, there's such thing as an unhealthy trailblazer.
Okay. Come on, therapist.
So what does unhealthy trailblazer look like, Shendrick? I'm so glad you asked. An unhealthy trailblazer is always stuck in his or her emotions. Stuck. Not
always.
Not aware. Yeah. But stuck in his emotions.
Shut up. For real?
Yes. An unhealthy trailblazer is always stuck in his emotions. Not that you can't be emotional. You're going to have your moments of emotion. It's the stuck part.
But you know what? I'm just going to say this, but 2014 God gave me that scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. And that's what started me on this journey.
A sobriety.
Yes. Because that's what that is. It's balancing your emotions.
Mm-hmm. So unhealthy trailblazer. She's so stupid. So I hope y'all got some pen and paper because I don't know how long the Holy Spirit gonna give me this. When unhealthy trailblazer is always stuck in his or her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Two, unhealthy trailblazer bleeds on others.
Wow. Mm.
What does that mean, Shandrika, to bleed on others? That means that you direct your hurt, your anger, all negative emotions towards other people. Mm. Everybody's to blame but
Jesus.
So now, not only are you stuck, you now hurt people. You are a hurt person hurting others.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. An unhealthy trailblazer.
Jeez.
Criticizes others for being trailblazers. They become their own self-hypocrites.
Wow.
Unhealthy trailblazer doesn't write visions, they destroy visions.
Ooh, child, this is getting tied up in here.
Yeah. Yes.
An unhealthy trailblazer dismantle confirmations. What do I mean by that? That means that they confirm themselves, but dismantle the confirmations of others being confirmed. So say, for instance, I say, Cynthia, the Holy Spirit told me that you doing this medical building in Coley is going to take you to another level. An unhealthy trailblazer would say, you don't have enough education to be here, so you may want to go back and get certified for you gonna do this while you calling yourself.
I've heard it before. I ain't gonna even hold you. I heard it.
So right? So that's what an unhealthy trailblazer. Unhealthy trailblazer determines if you're qualified.
Man, this is good.
And the last thing, an unhealthy trailblazer is always depressed. Now, what type of depression they are? It's totally different. They could be an Igor or they could be a Tigger. Simply put, they could be the kind of depression that we're used to, low energy, isolated, don't want to go out, always complaining, or they can be a Tigger. They can always be volunteering, always ready on the go, always ready to serve, but don't want to do anything when it comes to addressing their emotions. And so many times we're looking at people and we're like, oh my gosh, they're great trailblazers. Wow. In reality, they're unhealthy trailblazers.
Man, this is good.
This is good.
That's good.
I think the most thing that I would like for our listeners to take away is to differentiate, one, which are you? And use that to course correct. Because I believe an unhealthy trailblazer can become a healthy one with self-work, self-awareness, and going back to God again. I think in order to become, and this is from my own personal experience, in order to become a healthy trailblazer, you have to surrender the unhealthy habits.
Yeah.
You have to surrender that. In order to go from unhealthy to healthy, you have to surrender the unhealthy habits. The need to be right, the need to be in control, like you have to surrender that, the pride, the ego, you have to surrender that. And it is not an overnight thing, because I can testify to say I have been an unhealthy trailblazer at one point in my life because I didn't want to trailblaze. So it was easy for me to discount, dismiss what others were doing because it pulled on the string that I wasn't ready to deal with.
And I was just about to say the last thing, like the whole spirit about this, an unhealthy trailblazer rejects correction. And lacks vulnerability.
I'm getting you with their vulnerability part.
So Drew, going back to what you were saying about the maturity of maturity in your faith, that vulnerability piece definitely has to be there when it comes to being mature. You have to be vulnerable. So yeah, this is good, y'all. Like,
when I tell you that was so good, like I'm over here speechless because, first of all, after you gave down the list with the descriptions of the unhealthy trailblazer, that by itself, I had to go back and I was taking, you know, little inventory. I was taking my own little personal inventory of like, dang, I remember those moments where I was unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, at the moment, I didn't know I was unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just normal and just categorize the unhealthy traits as I'm just going through my thing, or I'm just in my bag, or I'm in my feelings, you know, or something like that. And knowing that now, right? Knowing that, wow, I can't lead like that. Mm-hmm. And in those moments where I am leading like that, I become disobedient. Now, I may still wake up every day and I still may be waking up, you know, looking at the plan and call myself running with the plan and, you know, following the vision in which God gave me. But if I have the signs of an unhealthy trailblazer while doing this, I become disobedient. Mm. I no longer become a trailblazer, you know? And that part, it got me. Mm. It really got me.
Even in that, while you were talking, Drew, it really just made me think about the pre-podcast conversation and how much I've grown as a trailblazer, okay? Because I'm able to articulate what I know I should be doing versus how I feel about doing it versus actually, you know, doing it the right way.
Or giving excuses.
Yeah. And so it shows my growth. My journey in trailblazing 101 or 202, whatever, it has been tough. But I thank God for maturity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you mature and it's not graceful. Mm-hmm. It's painful, it's ugly, but you mature.
Yeah.
And you have to sit in that, like, child, 10 years ago, you wouldn't get this. You wouldn't.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And what is maturity? Why have we painted maturity this beautiful picture? I just always wonder, like, why do we feel like maturity has to be this beautiful, well put together picture?
They say that you have to rise like a phoenix, and a phoenix is beautiful. They don't tell you that you be cackling like a chicken while the Lord is literally tearing you to shreds.
Right.
He is pulling.
You know what? That is so, oh my gosh, that's so true. Because when we think of maturity, right? You know, most people think of, you know, older, mm-hmm. right? No one wants to get older, right? Mm-hmm. So people expect that out of maturity, you're supposed to come out of or go through without any scars, or you're supposed to go through and mature without any wounds. But understanding that even Jesus had a wound that was visible after he went to Calvary, right? And we know that, you know, in human form, he had wounds even from the moments he came back to, you know, appear to the disciples again. And in some texts, in some forms of the Bible, they didn't know who he was until Jesus showed him his wounds and his scars, right. Until they realized the scar. So right. people don't understand that the scar means something. Mm-hmm. And show off your scar. You know, show off your the little hyperpigmentation marks you got, you know, because that means something. I mean, that's a whole nother series too, when we talk about the hyperpigmentation of your faith in, you know, in itself, that we expect the blemish to not be there. You know, we expect it to be, you know, looking as if it was, you know, our wounds or our makeup framework to be the same as, you know, as we were in our immature state. But mature does mean a little older. Mature means a little scar, but you can tell that the scar has been rounded off, and a scar blends so well in your, you know, in your current state. And I think that people just don't want, I just don't want sometimes to show my scars. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't want to show people that I've been burnt for 10 years. Talk. You know, I don't want to show people that in order to get here, man, it was rough. And I fell every single day leading up to this point. Mm-hmm. You know,
that takes vulnerability.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what? And as a therapist, that's the biggest thing people struggle with. It's vulnerability. Yeah. But that's the biggest work. That's the biggest work in therapy.
Yeah.
In order for this to work, you got to be vulnerable. But that's the biggest issue. Like, so, you know, a lot of people be like, well, how you been in therapy for like 5 or 10 years? Because it probably took you 5 years to become vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And you just started to work 5 years later.
Ooh, child, I don't want to hear the way you talking, sis.
That's good. I'm about to post that.
They don't like the way you talking, sis.
And so
it took you 5 years just to get naked.
Yeah. Mm. Now in the natural, it may take you 5 seconds, but
in the natural, you don't even need to get naked. Come on, somebody. Oh, okay.
Come on.
But when it comes to your emotion, your ability to do the work, right? So my frustration with it, and this is why I don't want to counsel ever, right? Like, this is why I'm like, God, shift me to consulting, right? Shift me to the advocacy piece, because these folks, how you were saying, church folks get on your nerves. Counseling, folks who come for counseling get on my nerves, because here's the thing. You come saying you have an issue, but when it's time to do the work of vulnerability, you taking your precious time. Mm-hmm. But you mad because I ain't gave you no coping skills. Well, I can't give you coping skills until you get naked.
I can't diagnose you until you be naked.
I can't I can't tell you what scars are going to heal the way they need to heal until you get naked. I'm going to need to see them scars. So I can be like, okay, so that scar right there, that's the scar of depression. Let's deal with it.
Good. That's good.
That's the scar of rejection. Let's deal with it. That's the scar of grief, unhealthy. Let's deal with it. That's the scar of lack of identity. That's the scar of lack of confidence. That's the scar. So until I'm able to see your scars, I can't help you find your identity. And so going back to what Drew said, the confirmation of Jesus to his disciples after this, after the resurrection of him from Calvary, from the tomb, from the cross, right? From that whole process was the evidence of his scars. If I didn't see the scars, I don't know you, Jesus. You may just be another prophet.
You just may be normal.
You may not be the trailblazer that you call yourself to be. So I got to see some scars because I got to realize that these scars, going back to what Drew said, don't make sense. These scars ain't nothing I ain't ever seen before. Science can't justify it, so it must be God.
That's y'all work this text right through here now. Y'all work that. I ain't gonna need coach.
So I think a lot of times what's going on when it comes to the trailblazer, and if you are out there, listen, people gonna see your scars one way or another. I'd rather reveal my scars than be forced to reveal my scars. What does that mean? I'd rather show you my scars voluntarily than to be stripped to the point that my integrity is being intact and having to force to show you my scars to say, this is who I am. But you, I want to be voluntary.
That's good, because that's how I lead now. I lead from my scars. Like, I literally walk into a situation or a relationship and I'd be like, see, here I am. I'll come in naked. Be willing to see them. So that way you can know or feel comfortable enough to undress with me, because I'm already naked. I come in revealing my wounds, everything, you know, that I went through. And this, I'm an open book. So it frustrates me as a trailblazer when I come in that way and you literally take 5 years, 10 years.
There are some people 20.
Oh, to even unbutton your shirt.
Wow.
Take your shoes out.
You don't want to take the shoes out? Come on, man. I came in here butt booty naked.
Wow, that's good.
Sheesh.
This has been therapeutic for me.
Listen.
For real.
This is good, Sean. You did that.
Yeah.
I think you did that. Kudos.
Now that's y'all. Y'all did that. Listen, Drew started. We just feed off each other. And that's what I love about trailblazers. True trailblazers ain't in competition.
No.
They are feeding and pouring. Let me tell you another tactic of an unhealthy trailblazer. They always comparing. And they're always taking and stripping, then pouring and covering.
Yep. I know too many.
And we see them daily. Yeah, you got the platform, but you unhealthy.
You unhealthy, sis.
Wow.
So even in your unhealthiness, when the healthy trailblazer sees that, they don't even want it.
Don't want it.
you enjoy that, because I don't want it. I'm good.
I want it. I sure don't need it.
The one and the two.
You become a discouragement to other trailblazers. So,
This has been good.
It has.
Yeah, this is good.
Yes, we started off in one good place and came on around.
Came on around. I love it. Y'all gonna have to invite me back again real soon, okay?
Listen, you know, I'm a janky. I'm be a little petty, just a little bit. You busy. We gotta make sure we get in like 30 days. We gonna give you 30 days, baby.
Y'all definitely, please have me. Please have me back.
No, this is you are now experience. Part of the Jesus Plus Therapist family. So there's no please. Just let us know when you want to come and we make space for you. We want to
let us know when you're available.
Yes. So you can make room. So we can make room for you. We are so honored to have you and your wisdom and your vulnerability. I think, honestly, we have not had a guest come back to back. So the fact that you were willing to come back to back, we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Like, take us to the next level. This is season 4 for us. And season 4 is so special because in this season, we turn a year old. So September 26th, we will be a year of doing this and going back. Nobody has a track. I mean, everybody has a podcast, right? It's plethora of podcasts.
Yes.
But we don't know how we stick out to be different, right? We haven't really, like, let's be real. We ain't did no marketing for real like everybody else. We have not done the things that they tell you to do with your podcast to monetize this. We ain't even looking at it as money, honestly, because we did discuss that. And Drew, honestly, we just wanted to blaze a trail. We just wanted the space to have these free conversations with friends and with each other. Like how we talked earlier before, that's us every time. Mm-hmm. Like that ain't new. That's like just us. And we just said, well, maybe people want to hear our conversations. And so we just decided, let's bring people onto the conversation. Let's create another, let's expand this conversation but beyond the two of us. So we appreciate you and we're so grateful for your outpouring. And we pray that you be poured back into and refreshed, just like we are.
Amen.
We are talking to you.
Amen. Like we're definitely forever family.
Now, listen, like, don't say that because Drew, you know, come Christmas, I'm gonna be like, Drew, what you cooking?
Look, no, I'm gonna be looking for you, and I'm like, hey, look, we going over by Cynthia's house. I feel like she frying some good chicken.
What? Yes. Come on, yes. Listen, I can't eat chicken, so can you find me some fish?
Let's do the doggone thing. I'll even buy the food. What you want to cook?
I got the side. Like, what do you need me to do?
Don't play that, Drew. You know, I like food now. I'm a foodie. I eat.
No, I got you. Let's get it.
Well, thank you so much. Y'all, we hope that you enjoyed part 2. We don't even, again, it's stated, we don't even know what part 1 was about, but we know it's going to bless you. Just like part 2 is going to bless you just like part 1. And again, Drew, thank you so much. We are so excited about what God is doing. And we are excited about your podcast. And so hopefully we'll be able to talk about that the next time you're on and just all the great things you have going on in the world. And hopefully I won't go insane by then being in this doctoral program.
You won't. You won't. I promise. I know that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all, until next time, we appreciate you. Thank you. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and follow Jesus Plus Therapists on all social media podcasts, social media and podcast platforms. She just looking at me, y'all. She know I'm talking crazy. But y'all know our motto, we record at night. Bye.
Later.